Hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Fault in Our Morals. Just to give everybody a quick rundown, we're going to be watching and reviewing movies, TV shows, and like other media things, and we're going to have it like open for people to submit. So if you want us to watch something, we can just review and give our hot takes on it. And that's basically what the whole podcast is we're just going to be giving our unsolicited opinions about things, and hope you listen. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Jaina, and this is WCCS Radio. We're going to start off with what really inspired the name of our podcast, which is the critically acclaimed number one box office hit, The Fault in Our Stars, which came out in 2014.
2014, yes.
Quick trigger warning for some topics mentioned today, including cancer, death, and Ansel Elgort.
Emphasis on the last one.
Yeah, and bad acting.
Right. That's another one. My middle school self is a little, she's riveted.
No, yeah. She is really thriving right now.
Yes.
Deep inside.
We wanted to give a quick spoiler warning, because we are going to be talking about everything that happens in the book and the movie. So if you somehow hasn't managed to watch it.
In the past 10 years, it's been out.
Like, I haven't. Day. spoiler warning, we are going to be talking about it. So now we're going to diverge into a little summary for everybody.
So, the main character of...
A lot to unload here.
So the main character, who's played by Shailene Woodley, unfortunately, is named Hazel Grace. She was diagnosed with lung cancer and thyroid cancer when she was like 13. And she's going to a support group. And at that support group, she meets Augustus Waters. And they fall in love. And then he dies.
And I mentioned earlier, the first red flag here is that his name is Augustus.
So, and honestly, that her name is Hazel.
Hazel Grace.
Jesus. Pretentious.
I know. Now we're going to diverge into a little character description.
Starting with my personal favorite.
Grace Lancaster.
Miss
Lancaster,
shall we say. As mentioned before, she's played by Shailene Woodley. So,
I would like to say, frankly, we find her very annoying.
If you thought this was going to be a movie with good acting, really set your standards down to the bottom. The lowest you can go.
Just lower the bar a little bit.
A lot.
We also just want to say that her character overall is just very pessimistic.
She's very, like, she just thinks she's better than everyone. Yeah. It's like, girl.
And I think this diverges into her being a pick-me, which we have talked about a bit. I don't know. I hate to be one of those people that says, like, you just have to see it to, like, know it. But, like, you really do.
But, like, there's no, like, I can't think of anything that comes to mind.
The way she just, like, would talk to Augustus in, like, the first half of the movie, she'd always, like, be, like, she wanted to disagree with him. Yeah. Because it would give her, like, attention, I feel like.
That's very true.
I don't know. Just, like, especially at the support group when they first started off in, like, the beginning of the movie, she just seemed very, like... well, actually, I disagree because we're actually all gonna die. And I was like, babe, we know that. We're at a cancer support group.
Literally. Read the room.
This would be a happiness. What else do we want to say about her?
Her acting when she found out she was going to Amsterdam, truly rotten. Awful. She gets like this email from the author of like their favorite book or whatever. And so they end up going to Amsterdam. And when she finds out, she's like, tell me we're not going to Amsterdam. Like, it's so, like, she's just very flat.
And if you know Shailene Woodley, you know the voice cracks you get every movie.
Worst.
She's, like, crying with her
voice. And she's just like.
Also, cancer has cancer. Hazel has cancer. And cancer has Hazel. So Hazel has a fun little breathing tube. She has, it goes, like, over her ears into her nose, and she has to carry around this little breathing bag. It's fun. It's like it has wheels on it. She makes it into a backpack later on.
Oh, yeah. Her lung cancer, her lungs filled with, like, fluid or something, so they don't produce enough oxygen.
Yeah. And also, Hazel talks about this in the movie, and probably in the books, how she, like, had stage 4 thyroid cancer, which is at, like, 13, and, that's like a little butterfly shaped thing in the back of your neck.
And second character is Augustus. Second and last character we'll be giving an in-depth analysis about, because the rest are not that important.
Yeah, so you could say he's kind of the opposite of Hazel. You know, he's optimistic.
Yes.
The only similarity, both annoying as hell.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah. He just is like...
He loves his metaphors.
Oh, God. He does. He really does. Okay. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, yeah. We can't get
I know. He... If I could, like, kind of describe Augustus in a couple words, I would just say golden retriever energy.
But, like, a golden retriever that hasn't been trained.
Exactly. Like, he sees a stick, he chases it, doesn't bring it back.
Yeah, he just keeps running at the stick.
Well, he also was in remission
for, like, most of the, like, story.
Of the movie. Because he had, like, osteosarcoma, which is, like, bone cancer. And it occurs in the cells that, like, make up your bones eventually. And he lost his leg. So my guy doesn't have one leg.
Yeah, so he's a prosthetic.
Yeah, and he also dies at the end.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of the big point about the movie.
Hazel, best last girl. Final girl.
Best and only.
And only final. Does this pass the what's the test we were talking about?
Oh my god, yeah, the Bechdel test.
The Bechdel test.
Wait, I actually am kind of curious.
Brief pause. Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, the Bechdel test is when two characters can't have a conversation without mentioning a man, like two female characters.
Okay. So
it passed the Bechdel test.
I guess. Yeah. So it passes the Bechdel test. Because I guess at one point Hazel and her mom talk about her cancer without mentioning up Augustus.
Yeah.
But I feel like the majority of the movie does not pass the Bechdel test.
No, not really. It just talks about, like, the relationship between Hazel and Augustus. To be fair, it is a romance. I say that lightly.
It's a tragic love story.
It is.
And honestly, it's not that bad. The story itself isn't that
bad. No, it's not. It's a cliche. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, very cliche. But it's written by John Green, so we can't expect much.
Yeah, you can't really. Maybe if it was written by Hank.
Yeah, it might have changed my mind.
Yeah, it might have changed, but. And something important to know about both of the characters is that they love this book called An Imperial Affliction that is the most pretentious book ever.
It literally is. Is it even real?
No, I looked it up. It's not.
It was written by this guy called, like, Victor Van Houten.
Yeah.
Or something like this.
Yeah, Van Houten was at least his last name.
Yeah.
They're, like, obsessed with it.
Yeah, it was a little, I think it was about this girl who also had cancer.
I'm pretty sure, you know, he loves his metaphors. I'm pretty sure the book was a metaphor for
his daughter.
Hazel?
Yeah. Oh, stop. But the girl died at the end. So maybe it was
for... Yeah, but she was, like, so obsessed with finding out what happened to the girl. Or, like, her family.
That's true.
But, like, the author was, in Hazel's words, douche pants.
Right.
So.
Of all words, I can't believe she chose that.
In the dictionary.
There's so many other fun things.
She even used a funner word.
She did. An F word. We can't say it on the podcast, unfortunately, because we are a part of WCCS Radio.
Yes, but you know what we're talking about.
Watch our language, yeah. So we were going to talk a little bit about the reception from the public for The Fault in Our Stars. I don't know, when I was growing up, The Fault in Our Stars was like this big-ass thing. I was like, wow, like, this is crazy, I need to watch it. I never got around to it because I was very stuck on not watching. I was like, I'm not going to watch The Fault in Our Stars because I don't want to cry. I cried a little bit at the ending, but I was laughing.
It was funny. You were not laughing, you were crying.
basically, the movie came out in 2014. It got an 81 on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.7 on IMDb.
See, for me growing up, I remember very specifically, I don't remember why I have this vivid image in my brain, but at school, other people were talking about it, and I was like, I guess I'll read it. If it's this popular and big, like, I guess I'll read it. And I remember sitting and reading the book, and when Augustus died, I was like, is that it? Like, I was like, really?
Like, come on.
I was, like, genuinely confused about how people were having, like, breakdowns over it. I was like, okay. Because in the book, I haven't read it in, like, so long, but, like, it basically starts with, like, a chapter, and it's just like, yeah, Augustus died. And it's like, okay.
Like, all right.
Alrighty then. Like, it's just very, it's just, for me at least, not very emotion provoking.
Yeah.
The movie also, I watched it when I was younger and I was kind of like, okay. And now I'm watching it now and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was really funny. Jana was like laughing, straight laughing. And I was kind of like, I was trying not to cry. And I was crying. And she was like, are you crying? I was like, yeah.
I'm crying. At both the cringiness of the movie and Chloe crying.
Yeah. Back to the reception. Basically, the movie had a production budget of $12 million.
And they couldn't get better actors.
I know, honestly. They were the it actors of the time.
That's very true.
I have to keep reminding myself.
That is very true.
So I don't think...
Was this before or after Divergent?
This was... actually, I looked that up. Divergent also came out in 2014. It's because I was going to wonder, like, did they have to go from playing siblings to love interest? Because that'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
That's also, like, the first like time I was like trying to watch it, I was like, I couldn't get used to it because I was like, these are siblings.
Yeah,
like,
it was so
weird. It was really weird. Also,
it makes it even weirder because we watched Divergent recently.
Yeah.
So all I could think about was like,
yeah. Oh, and this is gonna sound really toxic, but I'm just gonna say it. I wonder if she like thought which one was a better kisser, like Theo James or like,
oh yeah,
or what's his face? What's his name?
Oh,
geez.
Ansel
Elgort. Yeah,
Baby Driver.
Yeah, she probably preferred doing Theo James. I think Theo James is just like
he's
a nice
better
looking human.
Like, honestly though, it's so funny because the acting in Divergent, I feel like, is actually decent.
Yeah.
This is just atrocious.
You know, I actually looked and the ratings for Divergent are like way lower. They're like 31.
Really?
31 on like Rotten Tomatoes or something like that.
Well,
yeah.
I feel like Divergent was also more compared to Hunger Games and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because of like the time
it came
out.
It's like the dystopian type thing.
And anything compared to Hunger Games, like,
yeah, no, not gonna
a
do
lot
well
as hell.
Yeah. Also, but anyway, so it had the $12 million budget, and then the box office worldwide, it did like $307.2 million. So it did pretty well.
Yeah.
And then awards wise, it won the People's Choice Award for get this, best dramatic movie. And
wait, what else was up for thing? I wonder.
It was nominated for like two other things. I think it was best actor. I don't know. But anyways, it also won all the Teen Choice Awards that they were nominated for.
Oh my God.
So okay,
that's Teen Choice Awards.
That's Teen Choice Awards, yeah. So Ansel Elgort won Best Breakout Actor and Best Actor, I think. And then Shailene Woodley won Best Actress.
So
what's it saying here? We're doing a little consultation with the internet.
Yes. Because I'm very curious to see what the other options were for Best Dramatic Movie to see if it was worth it.
Yeah.
Shailene Woodley was nominated twice for Divergent and The Fault in Our Stars.
Kinda.
Okay, so the other dramatic movies were The Giver, Heaven Is For Real, If I Stay, and Noah.
Okay, like, of course they won that. Like,
yeah, there was not a lot of competition.
The Giver?
I heard...
It's not good.
Yeah, I heard it's not good. I didn't like the book either.
Compared to the book, it's really random, so you have to, like,
yeah,
kind of watch it as a separate entity. Similar with the Percy Jackson movies.
Yeah. Divergent won Favorite Action Movie, too.
Oh. Well,
next to Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier,
that's
and X-Men,
crazy,
and Guardians of the Galaxy. Wow.
That's actually
to be fair,
crazy,
though, it was super huge.
That is true.
Yeah.
But compared to The Winter Soldier,
yeah,
like, that's kind of, like... Know. Oh my God! And they won favorite movie duo.
This is Shailene Woodley and Theo James
from
Divergent.
Oh, she was nominated for The Fault in Our Stars too.
Yeah, they didn't win that one. Because I remember I was like looking at it. I was like, that's kind of that's funny.
That is funny.
Of course, her brother didn't.
Okay.
Anyways. yeah. So next episode title:
10 things we hate about The Fault in Our Stars.
Embrace yourselves.
They're pretty rotten.
Yeah. So the first thing we really just abhor are the metaphors. The flipping metaphors.
The first time metaphors are brought up is when he has this stupid cigarette thing and he's, quote, you put the killing thing between your lips, but you don't give it the power to kill.
Like
shut
up. Don't let him do the killing.
Like,
yeah.
Like, shut up. That is so pretentious, annoying,
yeah.
Like... Literally, that line was written for Tumblr.
No, it was a Tumblr thing. I remember my friend asking her dad to buy her a pack of cigarettes, and he was like, no. And he was like, no.
That's awful.
And she was like, but like, it's a metaphor. And he was like, I don't care if it's a metaphor. It's nicotine.
Like,
that's so
funny.
Oh, I know. It was so bad.
Yeah.
It was annoying. And also, I understand how it was like alluding to courage, but also like cancer, like, it does kill you. Like, you don't let it do anything. It just does. And I'm not,
And it's just so, like, I feel like that line, that the whole cigarette thing, it set up annoying people today.
It did.
The millennials of today, this is what they grew up with.
Augustus Waters walked so you could run with a cigarette. The other metaphor that we had to say was the grenade.
Just to give everybody a quick rundown, because I'm assuming nobody's watched it right off the bat, but
this isn't anyone's favorite movie.
Hazel Grace decides to say, "I'm a grenade, Augustus. I can explode in your hands." And I'm like,
should we pull up an audio?
Pull up the clip. I hated it. It was really frustrating. We're gonna pull it up right now.
All right, here's the clip. Playback.
They're sitting on swings and rocking. Yeah,
let's set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is when did this take place? Was in the hospital.
Yeah. So it's after she was in the hospital, and then before they went to Amsterdam.
All right.
She's breaking off.
Hey, so I'm saying I wouldn't mind. It'd be a privilege to have my heart broken.
Oh my god.
Gus, I'm a grenade.
Gus, I'm a grenade.
It would be a privilege to have my heart broken. I'm a grenade.
I'm gonna obliterate everything in my wake. And
babe, you're not a hurricane. Shut up.
Literally, like, get over yourself.
Little did Hazel know, Augustus was the true grenade. What did he say? He lit up like a Christmas tree in the PET scan.
Happy holidays.
Next, this wasn't really a metaphor. It was just annoying.
It's just annoying. Yeah.
It was the Mr. and Mrs. Waters scene. When they're in Amsterdam, they go to, like, this really fancy restaurant, and, like, the hostess is, like, leading them over to the table. And then she goes, "Mr. and Mrs. Waters, your table." And literally, I looked at it, and I was like, you're joking. You're joking with me right now. Of course they would do that. Like, babe, they look like they're 16.
That literally they're is, 16 that is old. A line written by a man.
What?
Who would say that?
John Green.
Like, Mr. and Mrs.?
No.
Like, they literally look like children.
No, thank you. The second thing we hate, being the one and only the Jesus rug. No hate
the Jesus rug with the heart in the middle.
No hate to Jesus. I'm sure he was a great guy. However,
he did a lot of good things.
And he just came back on Easter, actually.
I know, kind of fierce.
I know, honestly. But anyways, when they go to, like, this support group for people with cancer, the guy, like, makes this rug, and there's just the big face of Jesus on it. And, like, technically, I feel like they're stepping on Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, technically.
Because they're like, we're inside Jesus right now, or something like
that. It was just annoying. But that was the second one. And then number three
is Green Goblin.
Himself.
The one and only Green Goblin.
Now, Green Goblin was played by who?
Willem Dafoe.
Yes. So Green Goblin is Willem Dafoe. He plays William Van Houten. He's the author in The Fault in Our Stars. Just caught me off guard, I'm not gonna lie, because I just saw him in the new Spider-Man movie, and I was
he's actually really good in that movie.
He is. He did a good job. He worked with what he was given.
He really did, that's not a lot. They were basically just like, just be a butthole.
Fourth, I think this is obvious, okay.
Maybe okay will be always. I will never forget seeing people with their phone screen, their, like, lock screen being okay. I think, shamefully, I think that might have been me at one point in my life.
No way.
I think for a brief moment in my time on my iPod Touch.
Oh my god. You know what I think the equivalent of that was? I feel like it was the Harry Potter always
thing. Oh, yeah.
Because I had that as my background. It was just the always.
What's
and then,
the
like,
Hunger
the
Games equivalent? You know what? I kind of
Hunger Games catchphrases.
No, I'm going to look up Hunger Games lock screen.
Stop.
We have a lot of options here.
Oh, it's just like collages?
See, these are kind of modern.
Interesting.
May the odds be ever in your favor. Yeah. That was it.
Also, they did my boy Finnick dirty in that movie. Absolutely rotten.
We should do a review on Hunger Games.
We should. Next episode?
Oh.
Question?
Wait, do you remember the phone cases too? There was a phone case, I think, that said okay, which is kind of scary.
Can I rock these on my iPhone 7? No, I cannot.
Can I rock these on mine? Dead ass.
You could.
If we get, okay, if 50 people watch this podcast, I will get the okay phone case for my phone.
Keep it on.
Dead ass. I will keep it on for a week. So hopefully nobody watches this.
Yeah, please give us views, please. I really want Jaden to have to do this. So the fifth thing was the mom, and I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. Like, this is the part that really just bothered me. Her daughter with lung cancer, she just let her go off with her boyfriend in freaking Amsterdam.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam.
And she didn't even know who Augustus was And she was just like, oh, you're just gonna go to his house? Okay. Yeah, like, see you at home.
Literally doesn't make sense. This is like, this also correlates with the next kind of thing we hate, which is the sex scene, because it was just unnecessary. But also, when the mom asked where Hazel was, because Hazel didn't go back to her room, she stayed with Augustus. So when the mom was like, where did you go?
And then different in another country.
Literally. And she was like, where did you go?
She could have died.
Hazel just said, I went on a walk, babe, for the whole night.
Literally. No. Augustus's parents, too.
Like, I don't even think they mentioned him. They mentioned, no.
No, but like, he was just going around with some girl.
Yeah. He used his Make-A-Wish for Hazel. That should be. That should
be illegal.
It should be. Come on.
Like, imagine if he lived and they broke up. Like, he would regret that. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think if Baby Driver lived, they would have had a successful relationship?
No. Because I think Hazel is just annoying, frankly.
He's also annoying, though.
Yeah, but like, I feel like they're also like polar opposites. And I'm not saying polar opposites don't work out, but I think in this instance, he's like the definition of like a golden retriever boyfriend. Yeah, like we said earlier. Like, and I do think sometimes she needs someone to be like, hey, like snap out of it and just like chill out.
I think this is how their relationship would have panned out. First, they were together when they were 16.
16, yeah.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah.
They get married really young.
Mm-hmm. Hospital visits.
That's why they get married, to like stay in contact with each other. And then they just end up hating each other by the time they're like 30. Mm. But at that point in time, they're already like, can't really find someone else. Maybe they have kids.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. And I think Hazel would cheat on Gus.
You think Hazel would cheat on Gus?
A woman. His nurse. I rest my case.
Yeah, but like, Hazel gives me very much heterosexual. The other thing that we were talking about was, it was written by a 34-year-old man, John Green
himself.
Jonathan Green.
I wonder, like, how accurate. It's just, like, small things, honestly.
Apparently, it was, like, a good book-to-movie adaptation for the most part.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it did pretty well in, like, critical reviews, too. For a book adaptation, I should say. Speaking of the adaptation, I think Hazel Grace's representation. Shailene Woodley... I'm gonna be honest, I don't like her. I think she's kind of annoying. She was the it actress at the time. Hazel Grace is a character.
No,
also.
She was like the last choice it actor of the time. Like the it actor of the time.
They have like
Jennifer Lawrence.
Do they even have? She was already on a contract with the Hunger Games.
They couldn't get her.
Do they even have like another actress they wanted to use, or do they want to?
I don't know. Let's see.
Miss Woodley. Is there like a fan cast? You know, people get that way about Harry Potter fandom.
Yeah, let's see what the fan cast is. Fan casting list for Hazel Grace. This was in 2012.
This is in,
so this was before
Emma Watson.
That to her.
May Whitman. She was in
Haley Steinfeld. Don't do that to her.
Not my girl.
Notice how today Shailene Woodley barely has a career.
Yeah. She was actually in that movie, The Fallout or something. We wanted to talk a little bit about Hazel Grace, which is number 8 on the list here. The first point we have here is that she's annoying as hell. I'm sorry.
This is like the most 2012 thing I've ever seen.
We're pulling up a fan cast right now for Augustus Waters.
So and Augustus was Joshua and
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Is that Aaron Taylor Johnson?
No, that's Joshua Anthony Brand.
No idea who that is.
That looks like Aaron Taylor Johnson, though.
Or James Potter himself. Put that there. Anyways, Hazel.
now I'm like a Pinterest, like, deep dive.
We might have to start using Pinterest now that Twitter is apparently... You hear that Elon Musk, when he bought Twitter yesterday, he said they're going to stop... He bought Twitter, and he said he's going to start shutting down Stan pages and like, spam accounts.
Why?
I have no
Does
idea.
Does he hate the people?
I guess so. So this Pinterest might be where they go, I guess. Hazel Grace. She's annoying as hell.
The way she talks and the way her sentences are done are so pretentious. Wannabe Tumblr girl. Like, inventing the Tumblr girl at that time. She's that little, like, voice crack every other 20 seconds.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I think a good voice crack is good for, like, a little acting moment. However, it's every single sentence.
Every sentence. Like, is that just the way she talks?
I guess so.
Like, it's so annoying.
I also want to draw, like, a parallel here, because I definitely think there's a correlation between her and Jennifer Lawrence. She's the one who played Katniss, right?
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think her voice is, like, naturally very, like, kind of deeper and scratchy, But also, Hazel Grace is more so, like, she's breaking down every sentence. Which yeah. Is, like, Jennifer Lawrence is just, like...
It's natural for Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. It just, the way they like, do it is just different.
So, in other words, Jennifer Lawrence is a good actress.
Essentially.
Jalen Willey is not a good actress.
Mm, step it up.
And then, she's just so judgy.
She is. She just, like...
Like with Gus.
Yeah.
A lot with Gus.
She would just, especially with the cigarette thing, she just immediately was like, oh, you ruined it. You ruined this whole thing. Yeah. I was like, babe.
Like, shut up.
Like, first of all, it's not even your place to, like, judge someone.
Yeah.
Number 9 is...
That's literally the worst part of any movie I've ever seen. When they got to Amsterdam, I was like, it's coming. When
here it goes.
When they went to dinner, I was like, it's coming soon.
And I have never seen this movie.
And then they went to the author's house, and he was an ass. And then... His assistant goes, do you want to visit the Anne Frank house?
Also, you'd think they'd go to, like, I don't know, the Holocaust Museum or something. Like, if you're going to do something about the Holocaust, go to the museum. Like, it's so much more, like I don't know, accessible.
Yeah.
Like, handicap accessible.
And the fact that they get to Anne Frank's house and they're standing outside and the assistant goes, oh, it's a lot of stairs. Like, you didn't know that? You live there.
Like, come on. Or look it up before you go.
Literally.
Maybe, like, you have Google. The internet. Like,
yeah.
Let's do something.
It wasn't the 1800s.
I know.
This was 2012.
And she had a computer, like, literally in the house.
Yeah. So like, they literally could have been, like, accessible places.
Yeah.
For appropriate places for couples to kiss.
Don't even get me started. And
they could have gone so many other places in Amsterdam.
It's the fact that they, like, make out. So, they have their first kiss in the Anne Frank house. And, like, it's, okay, fine. Maybe a little peck. Fine. No. Yeah. They decide to make out in the Anne Frank house, surrounded by people. Like, and then, I think the worst part was when they all started clapping.
They all clapped. They, like,
literally.
I have this image so vivid in my head because they kiss a little bit. And then they pull back. And then they kiss again with tongue.
In the Anne Frank.
In the Anne Frank house.
They're in the attic.
Do you think they filmed in the Anne Frank house? Because that would just be a different level of disrespect.
Also, can I just be honest here? When they were like, is that even the Anne Frank house? Because I felt like it was like, you know, those backdoor rooms where they have like those things? Because like, they just kept going up. And I had no idea the house was like that tall.
They recreated the Anne Frank house.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Like, that's, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah.
Or if you should do that, period.
They did the outside of it, but they weren't allowed to film in the upstairs room. But
probably because it's, like, sensitive. Like, you shouldn't, like, even be recording anything.
Yeah, you shouldn't, I don't know, maybe have a scene where two characters are making out.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because it's just so disrespectful.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah.
Was that in the book?
Yeah, it had to be. Like, it was the first kiss. It has to.
Like, why couldn't he have done anywhere else? Why Anne Frank?
And then they also had, like, a photo of Anne, like, smiling in the background.
Yeah, which is the worst part. So weird. And they were talking about, like, okay, I have to admit, the dialogue going along with their inner battles that hit. The way Anne Frank was talking about, like, her life, or, like, Anne Frank's dad was talking about it, and then they were relating to their own inner battles. I was like, okay. However, kissing in her living room, I don't...
Babe,
I don't think about that.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. Cut. Gonna have to veto that one.
The last and final thing is the realism and just overall cringe of the movie.
Yeah, because not talking about how good the realism is, how unrealistic,
terrible
it is.
Absolutely god awful. Like I definitely think that they definitely did well talking about the sadness of cancer and the way it affects families.
They were definitely educating people on the different types of cancer and what can happen.
Yeah.
But in the worst way, because it was so cringy. Just the way they talk and the way, like, they would have a conversation and just stare at each other for, like, 20 seconds.
Yes, they would. I don't know, real life, I feel like just staring at someone is just, I don't know, past 5 seconds, not.
Like, I get, like, the, like, in-the-moment stare, but, like, I've never stared at someone.
No way.
I've always been like, okay, like, let's continue.
Let's move on.
Like, that's just so, so strange.
It was annoying. And also, I do think we should give it a little slack, considering it was in 2014. However, people know better. Do better.
Like, 2014, like, I feel like they were really just trying to push for that, like, popular with
romance.
Preteens in that are on Tumblr and, like,
looking
early
into
Instagram.
Your eyes. Yeah. I just, I think I can't. It's just, whatever.
Because you know that back then we would probably eat that up. Be like, oh my god.
No, I know.
They were staring at each other.
This is why I religiously avoided the movie.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen the whole movie, actually.
It's a pain. It's just a pain.
The other thing that I just really wanted to quickly point out as we're going along is I thought the use of the middle name was
so weird. Awful. I don't know why I just made the connection this year, but I thought when I was younger that her full first name was Hazel hyphenated Grace.
Stop.
And then she had another middle name, and then she had her last name. No, it's Hazel. Middle name, Grace. Last name, Lancaster. Like, first of all, why?
I don't know.
When someone asks you, like, oh, like, what's your full name? You don't give your middle name. You're just like, oh, like, Jana Dillon.
Oh, also, that scene where she was, like, telling him to, he goes, what's your name? And she goes, Hazel. And he goes, no, what's your full name? She goes, Hazel Grace Lancaster.
What? Did he ask what's your real name?
Up. What?
Did he ask what's your real name?
No, he would. He would.
Wait.
Hazel.
No, what's your full name?
Hazel Grace Lancaster.
They just stared at each other. They're staring at each other.
What?
They literally just stared at each other for like a solid. They just stared at each other for like 2 seconds.
No, it feels like an eternity. I swear to God. Name? This isn't the only time, too. They've done it like throughout the movie.
Hey, honey.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh my God.
Like, stop. Literally, I would be like, okay. Mom, yeah. Mom, when are you getting here?
Let's go.
I have this freak trying to talk to me.
Right after that scene, she literally tells her mom comes to pick her up, and she's like, oh, like, what's going on? She goes, I'm actually going to Augustus's house. Like, babe, yeah. You met him once.
Literally. For like 20 seconds in a cancer support group.
And the mom's okay with it.
Yeah, like, she's like, okay.
What if he was like, I don't know, and I'm like some weird stuff. Like, you don't know.
Like, what if he was going to kidnap her or something?
You have no idea.
Like, yeah, he looks sweet, but like, Ted Bundy was sweet.
People thought he was charismatic. So I think that pretty much covered the 10 things we hated about.
There's so much more.
The Fault in Our Stars. We tried to summarize into 10 things, but we could probably go on if we really wanted to.
Now we're going to talk about one thing we love from the movie. I think something that we should do in every episode, I think,
yes,
is we're going to do 10 things we either love or hate about a movie or a film or type of media. And then we're going to do one thing that we love / hate to kind of add a little other side to show that we're not all negative.
I'll go first with the one thing we love. Mine was more specific. I really love the destruction scene where the friend Isaac, I think he's going blind because he has to lose his eyes, and he just like starts throwing Augustus's.
This is after his girlfriend broke up with him.
Yes,
right?
He starts throwing his Augustus's trophies around, and Augustus and Hazel are like having a conversation in like the background or
yeah,
in the
and
foreground.
It's like really weird because like your best friend just got broken up with and he's not consoling him.
I think he was like trying to for a while, but at the same time I was just like, just
but
let
it's
him.
So weird because he's like, okay, and then he flirts with like some rando.
Yeah,
like read the room.
Also, the way he like asked Hazel to come over, I was like, what are you doing?
It's so weird, but
he's just like, Hazel, come over, and she's like, okay. And she just
I have to agree though, because that scene is very satisfying.
I did like it, and he just like, he always just pauses and stops, and he goes like, can I destroy this? And Gus is just like, yeah, over his shoulder. So
yeah,
it's very nonchalant. I
like
it.
I feel like Isaac was the best actor in the movie.
Yeah,
he didn't really have a lot of like time. But he still just, like, it was very natural about everything. Mm-hmm. Everything else just seemed forced.
Yeah. And I think that for, like, what he was given, he did well with it. And
yeah,
probably why they casted him in Paper Towns next.
Very shocking to find out.
Yeah. He was the main guy who was with Cara Delevingne as Margot.
So Isaac was in Paper Towns. His name is Nat Wolff. He was in Death Note?
Yeah, he was the main guy in Death Note. That's what nobody talks about. Nobody likes the adaptation.
Oh, it's the movie.
Anime watchers know, like, you don't watch the live action adaptations of anime movies. You know they did an Attack on Titan live action? I had no idea.
Really?
I think they did. I remember seeing something about it. I know they did Bleach for sure. I watched the Bleach one. Actually, like, doesn't look bad. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, I just heard everything that it was, like, really bad, so I just never watched it. I watched the Bleach one. I didn't think it was great, but it wasn't, like, terrible. The other thing, that we wanted to say was that John Green looks like, what's his face?
John Green's kind of hot though.
No, stop.
John
Take
Green's,
that opinion
John
and
Green
shove it
is,
deep inside you into the depths and
John
put
Green's
a lock
hot.
On that door.
John
Do
Green's
not.
Hot and he looks like Lewis from Meet the Robinsons.
No.
So look up Lewis from Meet the Robinsons and John Green and do a side by side.
No.
Dina. Oh.
That opinion is wrong. I'm telling you.
It is so right.
No. I'm begging everybody, please. For that, you have to get the case. You have to get the case for that. No. Yes, you too.
I'm going to present your man. Do you think they have John Green merch?
They definitely do, like a pillow. Oh, the body pillow? Okay,
pillow.
Stop, they would.
Okay.
John Green. Who's got some little scruff now? Should I get Pizza John? Pizza is a shirt that says pizza with John Green's face on it.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of silly.
This is all sold out. They must have had one singular one for each of these.
Hold he has a new book that just came out.
I don't know why he still writes.
We've been over this, John.
Come on. Come on, big boy.
Big boy. Oh, that's the Hazel Gray shirt.
Yeah.
We're looking at merch now.
This is a new segment. It's merch review that we just added. See, I'll get these. I'll get these.
The Converse. Okay,
they are Converse that are blue. All blue, but then on the sides, they have the little clouds that say, okay, okay. I'll get one of those. If this gets 75 listeners, I will get the Fault in Our Stars merch.
75.
75.
Shooting high there.
I'm up to,
No. I have to veto that. I'm saying if we get 20. Yes.
Anyways, my one thing that I love about this movie is that I love to hate it. I love hating things. And I hate this movie.
Hence the podcast.
And I love to hate it. Like, there was something satisfying in me that whenever I was watching it, I was like, I hate this, and I love that I hate this.
Yeah.
Because it's just so truly terrible.
That's kind of like consensus about like movies like that, though. It's just
It's just so much fun to hate it.
They're so bad. They're like low-key good.
Like, what do you even talk about when you want to talk about how you hate it? Like, there's just so many things to talk about. Now, our general reviews.
Yeah. I feel like if I had to rate this movie, I would give it a 4 out of 10. Because I think it was really cringy, but that's also might be because it was filmed in 2014. I think they did a good job cancer representation for the most part. But like, I don't know. I thought it was very cringy at times. But again, like Jenna said, I love to hate it.
I'm going to give it 3 kisses in Anne Frank's house out of 10 kisses in Anne Frank's house.
Lovely.
I already talked about it. I hate it. But I love to hate it. And like Chloe said, good cancer representation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure for a lot of kids, when they were younger in 2014, they saw the movie and they're like, oh, a character with like a breathing tube. And like that's an oxygen tank. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure
it,
that was
it definitely
like
worked on like normalizing that aspect of like cancer. And also I think death wise, like it was good showing how like it can get good and then it gets bad again.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it doesn't really glorify cancer either.
No, it doesn't.
It very much shows, although I feel like they didn't really show a lot of Hazel getting like exhausted easily. I think they still showed a little bit that was like enough.
The climbing stairs and everything, yeah.
And then it like made a lot of sense for Gus to die at the end.
It did, yeah. As much as I hate to see it, but
it was very good. I think maybe if they did, honestly, if they did a more modern version today,
they could do
with
a really
better.
Isn't that 5 feet apart though? That's with cystic fibrosis.
So thanks guys for listening.
Anyway, thank you for listening in.
This was The Fault in Our Morals with WCCS Radio.
Stay tuned for next week's episode. We're going to be watching the riveting, critically acclaimed After. So excited.
So excited.
Based off of the One Direction. We need 20 listeners. So
20.
So Jaina.
20 listeners. I will get Fault in Our Stars merch.
Merch? Not the phone case? Okay.
50 for the phone case. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Au revoir.